Okay, today's shiur and every shiur throughout Chodesh Iyar. We have a new sponsorship. It's sponsored by Ricky and Joey Janikowski. L'zchus refuah shleima for Chaviva Basketit Gita and Amichai Ben Dalia. L'zchus refuah shleima. So all the shiurim we have throughout Chodesh Iyar should be for refuah shleima for those two chalim. Today, always around this time of year, I try to do topics that relate to Eretz Yisrael for obvious reasons. We just got through the Chag of Geula, Pesach, and we are coming up on Yom HaAtzmaut, and shortly thereafter Yom Yerushalayim. So I always try to look into Eretz Yisrael related topics, and it's harder and harder to come up with new topics that that I haven't thought of before and that I haven't looked into before. But this past Friday, I got involved in what I thought was an interesting topic, and I'm embarrassed to say how I got involved in it. It was essentially, I got an email from my father with a link to a scene from The Simpsons where they went to Israel, apparently, and there was a scene of Bart Simpson going up against the wall, taking notes out from the wall, saying, "Sad, never going to happen, sad," you know. And as soon as I saw that, I said, "You know what, that's very interesting. Why don't I give a shiur about the notes in the wall? Like, I wonder where that minhag comes from." And there was a sefer I bought a few months ago that I never looked at, and I remembered that I bought the sefer, and I figured if anyone talks about it, this sefer talks about it. It's a sefer called Shalos HaTshuvos Sha'arei Tzion. The author is Rabbi Rabinowitz, who is the Rabinovich, who is the Rav of the Kotel, which I'm sure you may be familiar with him, but certainly those who learned in HaKotel, or those who learned in Netiv Aryeh, or those whose father donated all the chairs to the Kotel, certainly know who Rabbi Rabinowitz is. So he wrote a sefer of Shailos HaTshuvos of Shailos that come up at the Kotel, things that he has to deal with as the Rav of the Kotel. He has a Shaila about moving the Mechitza in one direction or the other, if you're allowed to be Mosif onto the Ezras Anashim from the Ezras Anashim, or vice versa. Shailos about several Kotel related issues. And one of the Shailos that he has is about what to do with the notes that are put in the Kotel, with those little tefillos that are stuck into the Kotel. What should we do with them? Should we ignore them? What do we do with them? So in order to discuss the issue, you first need to find, why do people put notes in the Kotel? And that's a hard question to answer. It's hard to find very early sources on that topic, on where it came from, that you stick a note into the Kotel. In fact, you do find in Poskim a discussion about whether you're even allowed to stick your fingers in between the cracks of the stones of the Kotel, because there were some early Poskim who were under what seems to be the misimpression, they were under the wrong impression. They thought that the Kotel HaMa'aravi was not actually the Kotel of the Harabayis, but that it might have been the Kotel of the Azara itself. They were wrong about that, obviously. Plus, there are those that say Bia B'miktsas Shmei Bia, that if you even go partially in to something, it's called being in there. And if a person is Tameh as a Zav, which every Amma Aretz is, and Amma Aretz has a din of a Zav, so we're not allowed to go into the Harabais, which is a whole, certainly when we're Tameh as a Zav, we're not allowed to go into the Harabais. Question is, when we're not Tameh as a Zav, you go to Mikvah, can you go into the Harabais or not? That's all a separate issue. Maybe that'll be in one of the other Halacha Shirim, Thursday Halacha Shirim, if it's ever voted in again. But that's a different issue. But the point is, there are those that raise a shaila whether you're even allowed to stick your fingers in the wall in the first place. So to stick the notes in the wall is a minhag that everyone does. I mean, it's obviously a very, very popular minhag. And the question is, those notes, do they have any kedusha to them? Do they have to be put into Seamus? Are you allowed to burn them? Can you throw them out in the garbage can with all the rest of the garbage? Now, I always wondered as a kid, like, eventually the Kotel is going to be so full of notes, there's not going to be room for other notes. It never even occurred to me that they would actually remove notes from the wall, which is obviously what they do, because eventually it takes about 6 months, and forget it, you can't stick anything in there anymore. And every single night there are dozens of notes that fall on the floor that they sweep up from the floor of the Kotel every single night. So there are lots and lots of those little tefillos, those little pieces of paper that are thrown all over the place. So what's the source of the minhag? So I couldn't really find any really good earlier sources. I found that the Tzitz Eliezer quotes a sefer, Pideyas Avraham, from Rav Avram Palaji, apparently. I don't know who that is. Rav Chaim Palaji, we know who he is, but I don't know who Rav Avram Palaji is. And in this sefer that I never heard of before, he quotes that it's a that we have a medrash that Liolam Lozaza Shechina Mikotel HaMa'aravi, that the Kotel always has the Shechina there. The Shechina never left the Kotel HaMa'aravi, and therefore he says that it's an effective form of tefillah to stick notes in the walls, like a direct link, a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in Tzitz Eliezer, it's actually very fascinating. He writes that if you look in the brackets, actually, is where he says all the interesting stuff. In the second line, Mechaber Yakar Zeh Kosev B'Sipur Masal La'atzeinu HaKadosha, he's quoting some earlier source, the Yalkut HaGershoni, I think, who recorded his travels to Eretz Yisrael, Al Bikuru Al Yidei HaKotel HaMa'aravi Kedvar Me'ele. And this is what he said about his visit to the Kotel. B'Yom Ravi B'Chamesh B'Boker, it was on Wednesday at 5 in the morning, La'achar She'ikdamnu Litbolas B'Sareinu B'Mikvah, after going to the mikvah, they woke up pretty early apparently, Halachnu Al HaKotel HaMa'aravi Al HaSar Dayachid, we went to the Kotel HaMa'aravi, the last remnant, the lone remnant, L'Da'avoneinu, to our great consternation, Mibes HaMikdash, to our sadness, from the lone remnant of the Beis HaMikdash, Lemara HaKosel, as soon as we saw the wall, Karanu Shuvas Bigdenu, we discussed that halacha, right? We tore our clothing, Ubachinu Vihilalnu Kemisved Aval Beno Yechido, and we cried and wailed like a son who just, like a father who just lost his only son. Kalabalakan Yivka Al Karcho, and he says, anyone who comes there is going to cry even unwillingly. Afilu Imlibo Lev Even. Even if your heart is a heart of stone, Nasena ata kore nichbad v'lech lekotel v'tivakach b'kach. And he says, if you don't believe me, try it. You go to the kotel, I don't care what you're made of, you're going to break down, and you're going to cry, and you're not going to be able to handle it. It's going to be so emotional. Sarich liro ze be'enei atzmo. You need to see it with your own eyes. We contrast that with our own little bit of Muslim. We don't have enough Muslim in the yeshiva, right? So we contrast that with our own experiences, perhaps. When we go to the kotel, maybe it doesn't exactly match. Whether it be because of the frequency with which we're zocha to be able to see it, or whether it just be because of a lack of spiritual sensitivity, our own experiences don't always match. Bain in the halacha side of things, of tearing the kriya and preparing ourselves properly and taking it seriously. Bain in the hashkafa side of things, in terms of the incredible sadness of what's behind that kotel today and what's supposed to be behind that kotel. He says, unless you visit, you won't have any musug, you won't have any idea of what it's like. We davened with tremendous kavana and with crying. He said, we really always wish we could daven with such kavana, even in all the other times, even though it was just a random weekday morning, still the level of kavana was incredible. And then he goes on to say a little bit later on that there's a maisa rav shel harav marach ben atar shenasim letalmido ksav tzavsa bekosel maravi, that he gave his talmid a note to put into the kotel, v'nizdam lo mizonosav, and it worked. And the guy, it was a prayer for mizonos, for food, for parnasa, and the guy was able to make it. He had parnasa. And says that Tzitz Eliezer, v'ulai mikoach zehu shenishtar ve'vaminuk bahar b'mibnei sholat min pitkaos. Maybe it's based on this source, which is a very not well-known source, obviously, from a couple hundred years ago, of this Rav Palaji, that the Sefer Pedeyas Avram, Arechas Bezos Tezvav, maybe it's from that source that people have the minhag to always put these notes in the wall. Bakashos b'chorei avnei akosel, to put bakashos in the holes in the wall. U'mamshichim lahachzik b'minhagam zeh, afal pishakam b'mfakbim less orachnas yadayim b'chorim. And he says, this is a minhag that's been accepted, even though many people think it's aser to stick your hands in the wall. V'yun o b'shal shuvizar Avram, shabigaz rucherim l'kayim p'sako sham, gazar b'koch tar ha-kadosh, v'tziruf l'gzor gam b'koch kosal maravi, asher me'olam l'zoz l'shkinim menu. Fine, maybe they will go there not to do this, but whatever it is, it's a widespread in Yisrael, everyone does it. In the Hakdama to the Sefer Arachayim HaKadosh, in one of the printings of the Arachayim HaKadosh, they tell the story of a... Of the Arachayim HaKadosh, that someone came to the Arachayim HaKadosh for bracha, and he told the Arachayim HaKadosh, gave him a note, and he said, if you put this in the kotel, that would be a great skula for you. And the guy went with the note in hand to put it in the kotel, and then all of a sudden a wind blew and it blew his hat off, and then it blew more and it blew his yarmulke off, and he was running after his yarmulke and it blew more and blew the note out of his hand. And he was devastated, and they found afterwards what the note had said, that it was like this heartfelt note that Or Chaim HaKadosh wrote to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, like your friend, Or Chaim HaKadosh, just like beautiful, heartfelt note that the Or Chaim HaKadosh wrote to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they say maybe from there, you see, the Or Chaim HaKadosh had such a had such an idea to put a note in the Kotel. Now, in that story, that Maisa that's told in that Hakdamah, the Or Chaim HaKadosh, you know, Lo El Subiyado, it didn't work out. But whatever it is, people have such a minhag. The issue is not whether the minhag is a valid minhag. That's not our issue. If you're going to ask me a shayla, should you put a note in the kotel, should you not put it on the kotel? It's not even so much of a halachic shayla. You know, the shayla is, can you put your fingers in the kotel? If you hold, you can put your fingers in the kotel, you want to put a note in the kotel, because that's not really our issue. Our issue is, people are writing down their tefillos on a piece of paper. When someone writes their tefillos on a piece of paper, does that piece of paper now have any kedusha to it? La halacha. Is it considered Shemus? Is it something that has to be disposed of as Shemus? Says the Shari Tzion, just framing the Shaila, source number 3, he says, from all different communities, all different types of Jews, they write notes of Bakasha, and they put it between the cracks of the wall, as proper, way to entreat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midei Mispar Chadashim Mitztaber is Kamus Gedolah Shel Tzedakah Uspakasha. Obviously, over the course of a few months, the quantity of those little pieces of paper is just overwhelming. V'kayim Tzorech Lefnosen Kedei La'aniach Makom Lepatakim Shel Bakashos Chadashos. And they need to remove them in order to make room for new notes to go in there. V'yashon Mipnei Chadash Tatziyu. They get rid of the old and in with the new. Out with the old and with the new. Zos milvada patakam and asaf midei laila. And that's aside from the notes that fall on the ground every night, that they sweep them up. So they want to know, can you burn them? Do you have to? Three possibilities. Either you burn them so that they're at least disposed of in a way that it's not mixed in with other garbage. Do you throw it in the garbage? Or do you put it in Seamus? And he says, just in terms of Metzias, he says, let me tell you what we do right now. So he says, Yitzayin Sha'ara Yoma Noeg, Shekol Pitkei HaBakashos, Mispana Me'avnei HaKosel Midei Kechatzi Shana. He says, right now our minhag is every half a year we empty out the wall. I don't know exactly how they do it, whether it's a power wash or, if they do it by hand. I don't know. Power wash? Okay, so they wash them all out of the wall. V'nitmanu Begniza. And then we take all the notes and we put them in. You ever see it done?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And they put it in Geniza. So is this like old news for you? You guys know about this stuff? Like what? Okay, I'm just like, I don't know if you went to Nativ, like this is like, everyone in Nativ knows all this. Okay, so they put it in Geniza. So ke'es im Geniza seinu l'tafkideinu nimtza kamas gedola shabatakim b'pacha ashba. But as things happen, a lot of times it ends up in the garbage. And why does it end up in the garbage? Because when they clean out the area in front of the plaza, in front of the kotel, so they put it in bags, and they wait till the bags fill up before they're going to put them in Geniza. And a lot of times, bein kach, one of the bags gets lost and gets thrown in the garbage or whatever. So the system's not really working that great if we're really trying to avoid these papers being thrown out. So what should we do? So this Rav Rabinovich, you guys met him? You know who he is? No? You know who he is? Yeah. So this Rav Rabinovich writes a tshuva where he tries to explain what the status of a written tefillah is. Personally, I didn't really understand the tshuva in terms of, I thought some of the comparisons that he made were not really a tzushtel at all. I thought that the comparisons that he made la'alacha to other areas in halacha were not a very precise. But he had the intellectual honesty of printing after his tshuva two other tshuvas from Gedolei Yisrael about this shaila. He apparently consulted with other Gedolim, so he asked Rav Moshe Sternbach and he asked Rav Asher Weiss what to do. Each of them wrote a tshuva. Rav Sternbach Kedarko wrote about 5 lines. Rav Asher Weiss Kedarko wrote like 3 pages, right? And each with their own approach about what to do. And Rav Asher Weiss, most of the problems I had with Rabinovich's tshuva, Rav Asher Weiss himself points out, and he. So we'll go through all sides of the inyan, and as we're discussing, there are a lot of other areas of halacha that really come to light. It's a very fascinating discussion. So let's get started. First of all, there is a minhag amongst many members of Chal Yisrael that when they go to an Adam Gadol, they write down on a piece of paper certain bakashos that they have, and they give it to the Adam Gadol for not to daven to the Adam Gadol, chas v'shalom, right? That would be avodah zarah. We don't do that. We don't pray to an Adam Gadol, but to ask the Adam Gadol to pray on their behalf. And it's not only by the by going to visit Gadolim personally. People do this by Kivrei Tzadikim as well. They put notes on top of Kivrei Tzadikim of Tfilos, where they're basically asking the Tzadik to intercede on their behalf to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there were many different minhagim amongst the Gadolim themselves about what to do with those papers. And some kept them, others put them in Geniza, others threw them out, and everyone had their own minhag of what to do. But Rabinovich quickly points out correctly that this has nothing to do with our Inyan. When you write a note to a Gadol, where it's clearly a request from the Gadol to daven on your behalf, it's definitely not a tefillah. When you put a note in the wall, you're not asking anyone to intercede on your behalf. You're approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not asking the Kotel to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's just that you hold that this is the place where the Shechina didn't leave, where it's always, there's a deep sense, an intense sense of Hashras HaShechina. So this is the place where I'm approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I put my tefillah in writing. So on that level, there's nothing to talk about. In terms of relating it to the pieces of paper, the kvitalach that people give to Gedolim, has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Where he does try to make a tzushtal is the following. There is a concept called ksiva kedibur dami. When I say tefillos, so those tefillos are definitely holy, no? Person says a tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah that a person says definitely have kedusha to it. Now, you can't, they're not tangible, so you can't talk about taking them and throwing them out, being mevaz them, except for where do we have such a concept of being mevaz them in a certain way? We have to be careful where we say those tefillos. Right? You're not allowed to say those tefillos in the Beis HaKisei, Beis HaMerchat, in places that are disrespectful to say those tefillos, because they certainly, no one would argue, they have a certain kedusha to them. What about when you write tefillos? Are the written tefillos also kadosh? Do they take on a status of kedusha? So his first raya that he wants to say that written tefillos should have kedusha to it is from other areas of halacha where writing maybe counts just as much as speaking. Where else does writing count just as much as speaking? When you wake up in the morning before you learn Torah, you have to say a birchas haTorah. What about if you're not going to learn Torah verbally? You're just going to write Chidush HaTorah. So do you need to say Birchas HaTorah before writing Chidush HaTorah? Not talking about being Maharher Divrei Torah, talking about writing Chidush HaTorah. Says Shulchan Aruch, Simen Mem Zayin Se'if Gimel HaKosev B'Divrei Torah Afal Pishei No Koreit Tzarech Levarech. Someone who writes Torah, even though he doesn't say it, he doesn't enunciate it, Tzarech Levarech, he needs to make a bracha on writing Divrei Torah. Well, how do you define chidush? I mean, if you're writing down yesterday's shir, even though it's not your chidush or my chidush, I was just telling you over what the Rishonim said.
Right.
It's still that you would still make a bracha.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Psak halacha just means like things that don't even count as Talmud Torah. It's just can I do this? No. It's like the Rav Chaim Kanievsky psakim. You know, like those farim where they ask him all the shilas and his answers are, you know, one word answers. That you could probably bring to the bat. You know, I don't say bring them to the bathroom, but I'm saying like. The word no doesn't have a status. If you're an avel, you're allowed to answer no, right? You're allowed to. That's not called Talmud Torah, ulai or whatever. You know, however he answers all those questions. Okay, so that's raya number one. That ksiva kedibur dami. Raya number two, Sfira Sa'omer. Rabbi Kiva Eger, there are two tshuvas in Rabbi Kiva Eger back to back about what if you're writing. It used to be the minhag, and it still is for those who write letters. Even though the minhag is people don't write letters anymore, but it used to be when people were writing letters, they would date the letter on top, and when they were dating the letter, if it was during Sfira, they would write what day of Sfira it is. So let's say a person forgets to count Sfira, but he dates the letter with the day of Sfira. He says it's whatever Tes Zayin LaOmer, and he sends the letter. So the shaila is, was he yotzi Sfira Sa'omer that way? He never verbalized it. He just wrote it down. So it's fascinating back and forth between Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rabbi Wolf Eger, who apparently was Rabbi Kiva Eger's uncle. And Rabbi Wolf Eger writes in Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, Madura Kama Simon Chav Tes. The whole Simon Chav Tes is the uncle's tshuva. Simon Lamed is Rabbi Kiva Eger's response to the uncle. The tshuva was written the week of Rabbi Kiva Eger's Sheva Brachos. Rabbi Akiva Eger got married, and his uncle tells him it was a great chasna, you were zochet to a wonderful kala, it was wonderful, it was great, it was fantastic. By the way, at your chasna, I was sitting with a bunch of rabbanim, and we were discussing a shayla. And this is the shayla that we discussed, and these are the rayas that we brought back and forth. Too bad you couldn't participate in the discussion, you were a little busy at the time, you know, it was your wedding. So, but this is what we came up with. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, okay, now that I'm done with the Shavu Brachos, let me tell you what I think about it. And he takes point by point of what his uncle said, and literally every line of his uncle's tshuva he rejects one by one, point by point. So what does his uncle actually say? It's fascinating tshuva. So after he gets through all the pleasantries, which go on for a while, he finally gets down to business. And on the fourth page here, in source number 5, in the third paragraph, Va'ata b'ni tzur levavi bal echtol michtov lecha. So let me write to you, b'meda asaknu b'moshev ha'suda, what we were talking about at the suda. Hine yitzati lefneim asher yishavti zem mikarov al asher nishalti. I was asked this shayla, whether you can, when you write Sfiras HaOmer, are you yotzei Sfiras HaOmer? And he quotes that... That there was a newly printed sefer called Be'er Heitev with Eishel Avram, and it's quotes there from the Tshuvas, Shalos to Tshuvas, Matzah Shmura. Ever hear that Tshuvas sefer? Unbelievable. So Shalos to Tshuvas, Matzah Shmura. That's the name of the Tshuvas sefer. He wins the most creative name of a sefer contest. That the lo yotze, that you're not yotze when you write down the day of Svira. But it's just quoted there without bringing any raya. Why you wouldn't be yotze? That sefer in a matzah la'ayin time of raya. So he says, I don't have a sefer matzah shmura, so I can't find it. I can't even look for what his raya really is. So v'aisa tshuvasi b'zeh alashu. He says, so this is what I think. Rabbi Kivei Yuzank says, this is what I think. First of all, what about other areas of halacha? Not Svira Sa'omer. What about taking a shvua? Person takes a shvua, so you verbalize a shvua, it definitely counts. What if you write down, Hareini mushba, I'm taking a shvua to do so and so. So he quotes from several tshuvos that if you write that you're nishba b'poel, you can't say that you didn't take a shvua. That counts as a shvua. Because hodas baldin is kamei edim, and you're being moda that you took upon yourself as a shvua in writing. So what that sounds like is that why is it binding? Because you wrote, I took upon myself a shvua. You're not writing, hareini, I hereby am taking with this writing a shvua. Sounds like if you were to write, I hereby through this writing am taking upon myself a shvua, that would not be good. But that would not count. But it's only when you say, I took a shvua, then it would count. Okay, then he says, but maybe shvua is different. Maybe shvua doesn't count because there's a special requirement by shvua of levate b'sfasayim, that you need to enunciate the shvua. And you don't have a bitoy sfasayim, you don't have an enunciation of the shvua over here. As opposed to by Sfiras HaOmer, maybe by Sfiras HaOmer, there's no requirement of verbalization of the Sfira. But he says, you know what? I'm not sure that there is no requirement to verbalize the Sfira. Because, even though it doesn't say anywhere that you need to verbalize the Sfira, the Beis Yosef writes, why is it that we make the bracha al bir chametz before bedikas chametz and not before bitul chametz? Why is the bracha made before the bedika, not before the bitul? So he says, because bittul is dvarim shebelev. Bittul is not actually verbalized. It's only something that you think. And you wouldn't make a bracha on something that you're not verbalizing. So anything you're not going to verbalize, that you're not going to at least have something where you're saying it, you wouldn't have a bracha on. And he says, no, so do we have a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer? Obviously we have a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. So it must be, according to the Beis Yosef, if you have a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer, it must be that there's a requirement, what? To verbalize, to say the Sfira. And it's got to be that there's such a requirement to say the Sfira Sa'omer. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to make a bracha on it. How's Rabbi Akiva Eger going to reject that raya? Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't bat an eyelash. In a second, he rejects that raya. When you're doing bitul chametz, what action are you doing? Nothing. You're just thinking, right? Bitul chametz is, right, even if... Bittul belev sagi, right? Just in your heart. So it doesn't even require necessarily a verbalization. But when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, we're not discussing if you think of the day of the Omer, whether you're Yotze or not. That everyone agrees you're not going to be Yotze. We're not talking about that. What are we talking about? You do a Maisa. You actually write. You actually write down the day of the Omer. So it could be, yes, Chazal aren't going to be misakin or bracha on something that you just think. But they will be misakin or bracha on something that you speak, and they'll certainly be misakin or bracha on something that you write. Right? There's certainly going to be misakin a bracha and things like that. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not so into that raya. What's his? So he goes on other rayas about counting in general. He says this idea that Chazal are only misakin a bracha when you actually verbalize is very fascinating. The mitzvah to count. Do we have any other mitzvahs in the Torah where you have to count besides Sfira Zomer? See, we certainly do. We have a Sfira of a Zava. A woman becomes a Zava Gedola. What does she have to count? She has to count 7 clean days. Did we ever hear of any woman that says, Hayom Yom Echali Mezivasi, Hayom Yom Sheni Li Mezivasi? Right, we don't have such a thing. And certainly, we don't have someone who makes a bracha and says, Hayom Yom Echali. Right? We don't have verbalizing such a counting. So Tosfos is bothered in a couple of places in Shas. Why don't we make a bracha on Sfira Ziva? So Tosfos says, no, we don't make a bracha on Sfira Ziva because maybe she's not going to make it to the end, because if she bleeds sometime in the middle, it's going to ruin the whole Sfira. That's what Tosfos says. But it could be that there's a more fundamental reason why we don't make a bracha on Sfira Ziva. Because there is no Sfira. There's no actual verbal counting of Sfira. But when it comes to Sfira Sa'omer, we have Kach Kibalnu, that the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer is done with actually verbally counting. It's just a different kind of Sfira. It's a Shaila by Sfira's Beis Din has to count to the Yovlos, which one that fits into. Does that actually require Sfira? The Shla HaKadosh held that even by Sfira Ziva, famous Shla HaKadosh, that said that you have to actually say the Sfira, that you have to, that it's a mitzvah to actually enunciate it. That's in Nadav Yehuda, in a well-known Tshuva, Nadav Yehuda says that the Shla HaKadosh loved mitzvah so much that he's an oiv mitzvah lo yispa mitzvah. That he loved mitzvah so much, he was never satiated with mitzvah, so he invented some on his own. So this is one of the mitzvahs that the Shla HaKadosh invented, but whatever. That's the discussion about the Sfira. But the idea, though, is Sfira, it doesn't say anywhere Levate Besfasayim. At the most, it says that you have to do some sort of action. So it could be that an action of writing is every bit of an action, every bit as much of an action as the action of speaking. And therefore, if you're going to say that one is Yotzei when they're Kosev Sfira Sa'omer, you're going to say Ksiva Kedibur Dami. So says Rav Rabinovich that you should say the same thing when it comes to a written tefillah, that a written tefillah has kedusha. If my tefillah itself has kedusha, and you're going to say such an idea, such a musag of ksiva kedibur dami, so then my written tefillah should also have kedusha to it, and should be treated as such. It should be treated with a deep sense of kedusha. His other raya, that ksiva kedibur. Yeah, I don't want to go through the whole Rabbi Akiva Eiger because it's a long back and forth. Very fascinating, Rav Kiveger, if you ever have time, on the concept of the Sfira Sa'omer. And by the way, just another Maramakom, I don't know if it's Maramakom, because I can't tell you exactly where it's written up, but Rav Asher Weiss has a piece somewhere where he tries to show that Sfira Sa'omer is completely different than every other mitzvah of Dibur. And he shows that there are 4 fundamental differences between the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer and every other mitzvah of Dibur, like Kriya Shema, Mikra Megillah, you know, any other mitzvah that involves Dibur. And that whatever the rules are by Sfira Sa'omer, it's not necessarily going to be a raya to anywhere else. He gives examples of how it's different. For instance, let's say you don't have kavana when you count the Omer. Are you Yotze? So the halacha is, we all know the halacha from when we're children. Someone asks you during Ben HaShemashos, what night of Sfira is it? And you haven't counted yet. What do? Last night was such and such. Now, are you having kavana when you respond what tonight is to actually be Yotzei the Mitzvah? Certainly not. Yet, you're still choshesh to say last night was such and such. So apparently, when you don't have kavana, you're still Yotzei the Mitzvah. When it comes to other mitzvos, the Paschal Mitzvah Strichus Kavana. Right? So if Mitzvah Strichus Kavana, why by Sfira Sa'omer should it be different? Another example where it's different. By other mitzvos of Dibur, do you need to understand the Hebrew? If you're saying it in Hebrew, is it critical that you understand the Hebrew? When you read the Megillah, if you don't understand the Megillah, are you Yotzei? Definitely Yotzei. When you count the Omer and you have no idea what those numbers mean, you're just saying words, but it's just words. When I count with my children, I tell them in advance, I count beforehand, I tell them in advance, the words you're about to say mean the number 15. You know, they have to know what it means, otherwise it's not... I think they would know anyway, because that basic level of Hebrew I would hope they have, but just in case. So when you count the Omer, you definitely need to understand. If you don't understand what you're counting, then it doesn't work. So Sfira Sa'omer we find on a few different levels. few different examples, has a different status than other mitzvos of Dibur. Other mitzvos of Dibur have a different rule book than Sfiras HaOmer. So any tzushtel to Sfiras HaOmer to anywhere else is going to be difficult. Why it has different rules is a good question. Rav Yonason Sacks and Rav Asher Weiss have a mahalich. I don't know who thought of it first. Probably Rav Asher Weiss thought of it first. But whatever it is, they have a good mahalich. It's explaining it. It's a whole different shir. But it plays by different rules. That seems pretty clear. Third raya he brings, Ramon or Chaim Sim Sadi Dalit. The Shulchan Aruch says, Cholam espalel afilu shochev al tzidov u'shayachol l'chavin daito. If a person is sick, he should daven as long as he's able to get his mind right and have kavana. Says the Rama, Vim iyef shalol espalel, and if he can't daven, mikamokom yaharer b'libo, at least think in his heart the tefillah. Shnemer imru b'lvavchem al mishkavchem. That even if it's only imru b'lvavchem, even if it's only saying it in your heart, still at least it's a tefillah. So you should at least daven, even if you don't have the koach to verbalize the tefillah, at least think the tefillah. Of what benefit is it to think a tefillah? Zok the Mishnah Brura, the efshar di yotze bazeh b'diyeved. It could be that you yotze b'diyeved when you think a tefillah. Vein sarach lachzor l'spalel afilu b'hivri. And it could be, therefore, even if you get better and you're able to daven, you don't have to daven again. You're ready yotze tefillah b'hirhur. So says Rav Rabinovich, if a yotze behirhur tefillah, yotze tefillah behirhur, are yotze b'ksiva, which is stronger, hirhur or ksiva? Ksiva is certainly stronger than hirhur. So if you're yotze behirhur, for sure you should be yotze b'ksiva. And therefore, if someone writes a tefillah, that tefillah should have kedusha to it, should have the status of kedusha. Those are his three major rites: Birchas HaTorah, Sfiras HaOmer, Leman Diomar, that you're Yotze Sfiras HaOmer B'Ksiva, and the Rama about davening. That davening behirur works, so for sure it works B'Ksiva. Yeah?
According to this, you say, I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, but you say that, according to him, then, then it would be usher then to get rid of that thought, because wouldn't that be considered getting rid of, if he's comparing.
Okay, I hear what you're asking. I'm going to say it a little differently. I mean, you're hitting on the point. What bothers you is good, because what bothers you is the same thing that bothered me, the same thing that bothered Rav Asher Weiss when he read this tshuva. The tzushtel is totally off. Why is the tzushtel totally off? What does it mean, ksiva kedibo davi? That when I speak, tzushtel means comparison, right? The comparison between the two places. What does it mean, ksiva kedibo davi? That when I speak, when I write, it's as if I speak. Means if my mitzvah is to say something, it could be by certain mitzvahs writing it is the same as saying it. Does it mean that the written word is now a cheftza shel kedusha? Doesn't mean it's not about the cheftza. It's about whether I'm a kayim mitzvah. It's not about whether I'm creating a cheftza shel kedusha. So yes, it might be that when I write, I'm being mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah when I'm writing. But that doesn't necessarily relate to the Kedusha, to the ability to create a Chefza Shel Kedusha. So yes, it could be that when I write down, Ribbono Shalom, please give me Parnasa and Brios or whatever, right, and I write it down, that I'm being Mekai, my Mitzvah Doraisa to be Mespalel B'chol Yom, assuming that there is a Mitzvah Doraisa to be Mespalel B'chol Yom. But that doesn't necessarily translate into making the piece of paper upon which I wrote that tefillah an actual Chefza Shel Kedusha. Just means I was mekayim my mitzvah of tefillah. And says Rav Asher Weiss even stronger. Look at source number 9, the tshuva of Rav Asher Weiss that's printed in the back of that tshuva in Tshuva Shari Tzion. It says, Va'agav avar l'malas kvodo. He says, let me explain to you. Sherabim tovu lachshov sheyesh halacha yedua ksiva kedibur. The typo is mine. I typo. He says, many people make a mistake and they think that there's such a halachic concept called ksiva kedibur. Right, you ask 9 out of 10 yeshiva bachim, ksiva kedibur dami. They'll say, yeah, it's probably Gemara somewhere. Ksiva kedibur dami. So says Rav Asher Weiss, ube'emes lo matzinu loshon ze b'shum chazal. Rav Asher Weiss could say, not only is it no Gemara, it's no chazal. It doesn't appear anywhere in chazal. It's not a medrash, not a sifri, not a sifra, nowhere, not a mechilta. It doesn't appear anywhere in chazal. V'lo b'rishonim. Nor does it appear anywhere in rishonim. U'b'shulchan aruch. Nor does it appear anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. Basically, this is in the category of Gezel Shena. Right? This is an invented concept. that people of recent vintage invented this idea called Ksiva Kedibur. It's not like you have to touch up, oh, what are you going to do with Ksiva Kedibur? You know what I'm going to do with Ksiva Kedibur? You can make up whatever phrase you want. I don't have to deal with it if it didn't come from Chazal. Ela b'divrei Achronim, the Achronim use it as a melitza legabe mitzvah sfiras haomer. They start talking about Ksiva Kedibur specifically in relation to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. They try to figure out whether being kosev Sfiras HaOmer is as good as actually counting Sfira. B'shev Yaakov Yordesim Memtes Berke Yosef Archaim Simtav Petes Ulalacha Kaim Elanaf Lagabi Sfiras HaOmer Den Ksiva Kedibur. And he says, by the way, for the record, we pass him by Sfiras HaOmer that it doesn't count, that you're not Yotzei. So you big riot that all these tefillos have Kedusha to it, because Ksiva Kedibur, so, and the Uriah is from Sfiras HaOmer. So first of all, there's no such concept of Ksiva Kedibur. Second of all, Sfiras HaOmer is a Raya Lehebech. We don't pass in that way. We pass in by Sfiras HaOmer that you're not Yotzei. Harei Shalom Atzinu Klal B'Poskum Rishon Mashiach from Sag Ksiva Kedibur. There's no such concept. You invented it. He says, but anyway, even if we held that there was such a thing as Ksiva Kedibur, Rav Asher Weiss goes on to explain, we'll see soon, that I don't think it makes a difference. These things don't need Seamus anyway. They don't need to be put in Seamus anyway, even if you held Ksiva Kedibur, because saying Ksiva Kedibur, like we pointed out, does not necessarily mean that the item becomes a Cheftza Shel Kedusha. So Rav Asher Weiss very strongly rejects Rav Rabinovich's claim in all these rites. What about Birch Satorah? What about his rite from Birch Satorah? If you write Torah, you have to make a Birch Satorah before. Doesn't that show Ksiva Kedibur? What's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah of Torah? What mitzvah are you making a bracha? Talmud Torah, Lasok B'Divrei Torah, something. Lilmor Amanas Lamed, V'Shinantam, that it should be Shogu B'Fiv, that you should be able to give it over to somebody else. The Geder is not a Geder of Dibur. There's no mitzvah of Dibur Torah. It's a mitzvah of Limud Torah, and Lilmor Amanas Lamed. Aye, so why don't I make a Birch Satorah and hear her Divrei Torah? Don't I get Schar of Talmud Torah when I'm a Harher in Divrei Torah? Because the Geder is not just Limud Torah, it's the type of Limud that is able to serve as a Lilmud Almanas Lamed, as a way of not only learning, but learning in a way that can give over to somebody else and that somebody else can learn Torah from me. When I think in Torah, I know what's in my thoughts, nobody else does. When I speak in Torah, it's a lilmon al manas lamed. It's a learning that other people are getting, that other people are hearing. When I write Torah, isn't that the strongest form of lilmon al manas lamed? Right? That's the greatest form of lilmon al manas lamed. Chazanish never gave shiurim. He owned a store, he owned a shop. He never gave shiurim. For most of his life, he was a secret. No one even knew about him. They didn't know who he was. Someone once came into his store and said to him, a Rav came into the store, saw a simple Jew and said, you know, you should really dedicate time to Torah. You should learn a lot. I started giving him Musar. He says, how much do you learn? Do you ever get a chance to learn? The Chazanish said, only when I have free time. 18 hours a day. Right? Only when you have free time. But he's the Chazanish and he wrote volumes. Is there any greater Malami Torah Yisrael than the Chazanish? So the greatest form of lulame Torah, perhaps, is through ksiva. It's through being kosev divrei Torah. So certainly you'd make a birch Torah. Birch Torah is not a riot like ksiva kedibur. It's not a mitzvah of dibur. It's a mitzvah of lulman amanas alamed. Why is the Ramah not a riot? That even thinking and davening, you're yotzei the tefillah. Because again, like we said, thinking and davening, yes, yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah. Doesn't mean, and therefore for sure, when you write a tefillah, you should be yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah. Doesn't mean that the tefillah that you wrote has kedusha to it. So therefore, we have to move on to the next stage, which is, when you write tefillahs, do they have kedusha to it? And, more than that, what's actually written on those notes? To go back to the Simpsons episode, he pulled out one note and said, you don't know what it says in the note, but he says, maybe if you're Brad Pitt, so is that of Kedusha, whatever, you could figure out what the Bakasha is? Right, what's actually written on those notes? Do they all have Kedusha to them? Whatever happens to be written in those notes, do they have Kedusha to them? So Rabinovich says, I went through a sample of them. He started reading people's tefillos. He gathered like 100 of them and just one, you know, random sampling of what was written in them. He wanted to see. So some of them, he said, had psukim in them. They're actually quotes from psukim in them. So a very, very tiny percentage of them even had Shem Hashem written in them. Like, dear God, but using Yudke Vavke, the full Shem Hashem. It's a very, very tiny percentage, but some people actually wrote Shem Hashem, and most of them were just, you know, please, Refuah Shleima, just a couple of names or whatever. But everyone writes their own thing. There's no quality control over what gets put into the Kotel. Who knows what's in there? It could be anything that's in there. So the Shaila is little pieces of paper that stuff is written on. Do they have Kedusha? Do they not have Kedusha? So if it has Psukim or Shemos HaKodesh, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuftas Vavam Beis, where the Gemara seems to be mashma that it does have Kedusha. If it has actual Psukim or Shemos HaKodesh on a random written piece of paper, that it does have Kedusha. It says Gemara in Shabbos, HaBrachos VaKameyim, a bracha and a kameya. You know what a kameya is? It used to be popular that when you go get a bracha from a gadol, and Mekubalim probably still do this, they give you some sort of kameya, some sort of little amulet to wear or carry with you, and that's like a tefillah. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Emden claimed he caught Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz being a Shabtai Tzvi follower, because he read some of the kameyas that Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz gave to people, and he said he found in the kameyas veiled references to Shabtai Tzvi. So that was the whole machlokas. Did he or didn't he find actual references to Shabtai Tzvi? But the fact that he was writing kameyas didn't bother anybody, because that's what people did. Especially if you're a mekubal, you write kameyas. Very few people still write. I think Rav Shlomo Fisher writes kameyas. The big Talmud Chacham. I don't know. It's a strange thing, but I think he still writes kameyas. But anyway, so the Gemara talks about if you have kameyas, you have these little amulets that have tefillos in them. So afal pi sheyesh ben osio shel shem umin yonos harbe shebetorah, even though they have Torah related in yonim discussed therein. If there's a fire that breaks out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go in and save them. You let them remain burnt wherever they are. They with the Shemos Hashem. And therefore, says the Gemara, Mikan Amru, Kosei Brachos Kisarfei Torah. People who write these brachos, it's like they're burning Torah. Because what if, God forbid, a fire breaks out on Shabbos, you're not going to be able to save these things, and then it will turn out that they're going to be burnt. What does it sound like? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Sounds like a bad thing, right? Sounds like it's bad that they're burnt. Why is it bad that they're burnt? Because you're burning Divrei Torah. You're burning words of Kedusha. It's not a Sefer Torah. It's not even a Sefer Shalim of Chumash. It's not. But it's words of Kedusha. So any words of Kedusha written on a piece of paper, sounds from the Gemara, have Kedusha to them. Rav Moshe was asked about shuls that have very old Sidurim that are no longer usable. So Sidurim, do you need to put them in Shemus? Rav Moshe said, of course you need to put them in Shemus. It says Rav Rabinovich, tell me the difference exactly between a siddur and a written tefillah that someone sticks into the kotel. It's just written tefillah, isn't it? Where's the chiluk between a siddur and a written tefillah that someone sticks into the kotel? So no, you tell me the difference. There is a difference. What? Okay. Meaning the level of the tefillah, that the tefillah is composed by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, is a little bit different than, or by David HaMelech or whatever, is a little bit different than, you know, Jim from Arkansas, his first visit to the Holy Land, you know, whatever. Okay. Siddur definitely has Shem Hashem. Most of the little kvitlach in the kotel hopefully don't have Shem Hashem in it. Another chilek. When you print a siddur, what's it meant to do? You're supposed to read from it. You're supposed to daven from it. When you write those little kvitalach, you're supposed to read it? No, the point is you write it just to put it away. It was never even meant to be read from. Yeah? Yeah, but I'm saying, okay, in this world...
I'm saying, like, you know, I don't know if that's defined by halacha, but...
We do believe Hashem listens. Go back to that scene from The Simpsons. I hate to quote three times. Homer asks Bart, "What are you doing, son?" He says, "I'm reading. I'm listening. I'm reading prayers and ignoring them, just like God does." We don't believe that. We believe God listens to prayers and pays attention to them. That's true, and He reads all the prayers. But nevertheless, it's not meant to be read by human eyes. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think that counts.
So who cares?
So it could be that something that's meant to be used over and over again in order to do tefillah, to be mekayim tefillah through it, by reading from it, is meant to be used as a sefer that's constantly used, that has kedusha to it. Something that's meant to just be written and put away doesn't have kedusha to it. And this is where Rav Rabinovich quotes the famous tshuva of the Netziv. I think he quotes it, or someone quotes the tshuva of the Netziv. Maybe Rav Asher Weiss quotes it. Yeah, Rav Asher Weiss quotes the tshuva of the Netziv. It's a well-known tshuva of the Netziv about Shemus. When the Netziv was asked about, they used to print galleys of Svarim, where before they would have the final version of the Sefer, they would have like a trial version that they would check for editing purposes. And what would they do with all that? You know, what would they do with it once they changed everything and came out with the final copy? What would they do with the old copies that they weren't using? So they wanted to know if they can use that paper as the binding of other Svarim. The printing house wanted to recycle that paper and use the paper. If you have really old Svarim, I went to Sotheby's a while ago to see the Svarim exhibit. You saw in the binding, there was actual old Svarim that went into making the binding of the Svarim. So the Netziv was asked if that's allowed. And the Netziv has an unbelievable kula that's very helpful for our times. See, in the last number of years, a couple of decades, the proliferation of Shemos has been astounding. Meaning, it used to be, Shemos was, you have a Sefer that gets old and you can't use it anymore, so it's Shemos. An old Sefer. Nowadays, every high school and yeshiva prints Divrei Torah, and there's the TABC one and the HALB one and the MTA one and everyone has printouts from this website and that website with Divrei Torah. There's tons and tons of stuff. It would be impossible to put everything into Shemos. So you're allowed to throw that stuff out? So the Netziv is an incredible tshuva. The Netziv holds, and not everyone holds like this Netziv, just to get it out there, but let you know that it exists. The Netziv holds that something only takes on a status of Kedusha when you print it l'shem Kedusha, when you print it to keep. If you print it to be thrown out, you print it in originally, he compares it to Mr. Sukh's Kavana a little bit. He says, just like Kavana Hefeches would work, that you have Kavana not to be, even if you have Mitzvah Saint Sukh's Kavana, if you have Kavana not to be Yotze, you're not Yotze Mitzvah. So too, when it comes to Kavana for Kedusha, and his Raya is a Sefer Torah Shekas of Min, Fenapi Kores writes a Sefer Torah, Mitzvaso Besrefa. You're supposed to burn it, but it's a Sefer Torah. Physically, it's exactly a Sefer Torah. How could it be that you're allowed to burn such a thing? So because there's no Kavana of Kedusha. The physical item in front of you is not what gives it Kedusha. It's the combination of the physical item with the kavana that went into it. So the Netziv says these galleys are meant to be printed just once so that they can look through them and then get rid of them. So he says there's no requirement of geniza for such things. So if you're going to write a note and you're just going to put it in the wall and it's never meant to be used on a consistent basis, so you're writing it knowing, if you're a thinking person. So as a 5-year-old, I didn't realize. I wondered what happened to all those old tefillos. But if you're a normal person, you realize they're not staying there forever. That they're going to be put there, and then they're going to be washed out, and they're going to be put away. Yeah.
So does that apply to the words themselves having no intrinsic value? I just thought that they would.
Without any sort of kavana attached to them.
Right. Yeah.
It was a big shaila. The New York Times had an article. I forgot what it was about. Something to do with Sifrei Torah, old Sifrei Torah. And on the front page of the Metro section, they had a picture of a column of a Sefer Torah, and there were shemos all over it. And a lot of Rabbanim Paskin, you have to put it in Geniza at the time. So the question is, if you have nothing in mind when you're printing it, does it still need Geniza? It's a serious shayla, in Shemus. But this is the Netziv. This is the Netziv's chiddush. Netziv would probably say those New York Times did not need to be in Shemus. Yeah. Yeah, big cooler for the yeshiva newsletters. Because they're meant, no one thinks that they're being kept forever. They're meant to be read during laning or whatever other chazaras shats, whenever people read these things, and then thrown out. Well, not necessarily thrown out. The guys printing them just know that they're used this Shabbos. They're not used next Shabbos anymore. They're gone. So that's a big kula for these things. So Rav Rabinovich came to his conclusion as follows. His conclusion was that the notes sometimes do have psukim and do have shemus in them, therefore should be put in shemus. Plus, he says, as a sensitivity thing. People are pouring their hearts out at the Kotel. Like we started with that thing from the Tzitz Eliezer. Someone goes to the Kotel, it's like all their emotions and everything, and they're putting everything, all their... So you're going to go and throw that out? It just doesn't pass. It's passing-ish to go and to throw out someone's tefillos and someone's, you know, someone's emotions and to just play around with them, just throw it in the garbage. He says he just can't, he doesn't like the idea. He says we should tell people they shouldn't write Shemos on it, because a lot of times, even though he says we're going to continue to put them in Geniza, we're going to still put them into Shemos, but still, it's out of our control to track down every last note, and many of them are going to end up being washed away or thrown out. So people should be encouraged not to write Shemos, not to write Pesukim on them. You should be aware of that. But nevertheless, he says he has to still put it in Shemos. Rav Sturmbach thought the Shiloh was a joke. Rav Sturmbach doesn't take it so seriously at all, it seems from his tshuva. Rav Sturmbach writes, he says, let me ask him, Tshumas and Maestros actually have Kedusha. You mav Tshumas and Maestros, and what do you do with them? When you mav Tshumas and Maestros, you bought peppers in Costco before Yantif, right? What do you do with it? You wrap it up and you throw it in the garbage. That actually has Kedusha. And you throw it in the garbage. So he says, these pieces of paper that just say whatever people want or a list of names, they don't even have Kedusha. He says, okay, so you want to wrap them up before you throw them out. You can put them in a separate bag before you throw them out. So don't put them in with yesterday's banana peels. But throwing, he says, I have no problem throwing this in the garbage. And he says, the very minhag of putting the papers in the kotel in the first place, he says, I have no idea what value there is to the minhag, why it helps. But yeah, people did it, so we're not going to stop people from doing it. You're dealing with a metzius that it's already done. He says, I don't really see a big problem. And people who were mapped not to throw such things out, it's a midas chasidus, and we don't have to observe such a midas chasidus. We don't have to observe any such midas chasidus. And Rav Sturmbach was like, he's asking me shailas about skulas, you know, he's not so into it. Rachman al-San, there's a woman in my community just was diagnosed with an illness. And someone immediately sent out an email, we need 40 women to bake challah this Erev Shabbos and do Afrashas challah as a skula for Refuah Shleima. So immediately, one guy who knows me really well immediately emails me back, my guess is they didn't run this one by you, you know, a skula. Like, that's not my first reaction. I'm looking for Refuah Shleima. But I got shilas from women this morning. What if I only make enough challah for a Savik bracha, so I'm not going to be able to make the bracha? Is it still Mekayim the skula? I don't know where... They didn't teach me this in yeshiva, you know? I wasn't trained to answer these kinds of shailas. But anyway, so Rav Asher Weiss, this is through Rav Asher Weiss, then the Manal is going to be here in a minute. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva where he says as follows. The Isser for Tfilos, someone made the chiluk before, I think Chaim made the chiluk, but the Isser of Tfilos having Kedusha, the idea of taking Tfilos and throwing them out, is only Tfilos that are Mesukan Alidei Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Any random God help me is not a problem. And his proof is very interesting. In this sefer, there are ha'aras from Rav Nevensal on the bottom of the page. Rav Nevensal didn't write any ha'aras in Rav Rabinovich's tshuva, but on Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva, he kept on writing like the same thing. Wrong. Like, he kept on saying, like, I don't think this is correct. I don't think that's correct. So Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva, he says, it's a davar pashut, that let's say you're in the bathroom and someone that you think something dangerous is about to happen. Are you allowed to say, oh God, help me? Are you allowed to do that? So he says, Dover Pashut, you're allowed to do that, and you're allowed to think about God in the bathroom. Rav Nevensal says, I don't know where you got that from. I think it's us. Nevensal just writes in the bottom and says, I don't know what you say is Dover Pashut, that if you're in a danger in the bathroom, you're allowed to ask God for help. I don't think you can invoke God at all in the bathroom, even if it's not a tefillah on Shekhinah Sagadola. I wonder what's behind that. There's something there that I'm missing. But Rav Asher Weiss takes it as a davar pashut that you're allowed to do it. The Rav Moshe talks about benching. He says that you're allowed to put, that Rav Moshe says you have to put benching in Shemus. Old benchers need to be put in Shemus because the nusach of the bracha was a nusach of Torah. That any nusach of bracha that was mesukan al yidei chazal, so that's Torah Shebal Peh. But if the nusach wasn't made by chazal, mail, it's not Torah Shebal Peh. And if it's not Torah Shebal Peh, there's no problem with putting it in Shemus. The Rav Asher Weiss then says, according to the Netziv, certainly you have no problem with these papers. And he said, I've yet to see a single gadol actually put a paper in the kotel. He says, you find like, you know, when politicians go to the kotel, they put a paper in the kotel. When Barack Obama visited the kotel, whatever, Bill Clinton visited the kotel, George Bush, they put a paper in the kotel as a photo op. But he says, I've yet to see, I'm sure someone immediately ran and pulled it out, see what it said. But he said, I've yet to see anyone who, any gadol, any real Adam gadol, put something in the kotel. But Rav Asher Weiss, very classic, very much along the line of the way he does things, he says, if it's a minhag, it's a minhag. If it's a minhag that's been done for hundreds of years, we're certainly not going to stop people from doing it. And if the minhag has always been by the kotel to put it in Geniza, even though there's absolutely no halachic reason why you should be required to do so, if that's the minhag, he says, so then you should continue to be mekayim a minhag that is centuries old.